I never get accustomed to losing a swarm. It's always a disappointing, distasteful experience.
Oh, I'm pretty good at losing swarms. Yeah, I don't mind losing a swarm. I mean, I know I'm losing bees, and the colony that swarmed isn't going to be what it could have been, but I don't have a problem. You know, well, two things. One is I'm usually not here when it's swarmed, so it's gone, and I find out 2 days later. Or it's 80 feet in a tree, and I don't use ladders anymore.
Yeah. Well, beekeepers, you ought to know that it happens to all of us, no matter what.
You are listening to Honey Bee Obscura, brought to you by Growing Planet Media, the folks behind Beekeeping Today podcast. Each week on Honey Bee Obscura, hosts Kim Flottam and Jim Tu explore the complexities, the beauty, the fun, and the challenges of managing honeybees in today's world in an engaging and informative discussion meant for all beekeepers, long-timers, and those just starting their journey with bees. So sit back and enjoy the next several minutes as Kim and Jim explore all things honeybees.
Hello, I'm Jim Tu.
And I'm Kim Flottam.
And welcome to Honeybee Obscura, where Kim and I are grousing over lost swarms and how to psychologically accept it. Kim was just saying that he doesn't mind giving those back to the environment. Well, I want to say to you listeners that I don't mind Kim giving his bees back to the environment either. But I'd like to keep mine in my beehive as best I can. But he's right. Kim, you're right. Some things, those swarms, when they hang up there 60, 70 feet in the air and just snark at you, it makes you understand why some people are inclined to get out a shotgun or something just to let them know that they can still be reached from the ground.
Yeah, if I have one that swarms and it lands on the fender of my car, which I did have a couple of years ago, those you can brush off, and that's pretty easy. You can, you know, there's no danger there. The bees are happy. I'm not swinging from a ladder, and they're happy to be on the fender, and I'll put them in a box, and I'll probably keep them. So when I say I don't mind losing them, if they're easy to get, I'm gonna try and get them. But I'm not gonna kill myself for a bunch of bees.
Well, you say that, but where's the line, Kim? At 6 feet or at 10 feet? I mean, where's this line that you and I are agreeing to at our age we shouldn't be on a ladder? Because I've done it. I can tell you for a fact that a 10-foot ladder in the back of a pickup truck is unstable. When you get in the top of that ladder, you're like something in a circus act because the suspension system on the truck flexes. And when I'm up there looking up at the swarm, you're thinking, is my ladder moving? Well, actually, it is, because as I move, the truck bed moves a little bit. But at the moment, and as a much younger man, it seemed worth it. But as I've aged, somehow that mystical line that I'm asking you about, it's gotten to be a lower and lower line. It's just not worth it falling. It takes me too long to heal.
Well, I got to give you some comparative economics here. You know, a package of bees, which is essentially a swarm, it's going to cost you $140, $160. 3 days in the hospital is going to cost you your mortgage.
Well, that is comparative economics, but Kim, it's bees. It's a swarm. I've changed my entire life on numerous occasions because the bees are swarming. And whatever I'd planned to do is suddenly not even on the back burner. I took it off the stove because you've got to go out and do something with that bee swarm right there. What is it? What is that frenzy that it elicits in a beekeeper that you've got to climb a ladder, you've got to get a box, you've got to do whatever because those bees are going and you got to move now because they may not stay? It's an exciting moment that many beekeepers find to be exhilarating.
Have you ever stood in the middle of right in front of a colony they call it issuing a swarm. I always like that term. It's issuing a swarm, and they're coming out of there at 70 miles an hour, and they're bouncing off your veil, and
If I said yes, does that mean I'm a bad beekeeper because my bees are swarming? It's just like a trick question. Yes, I have stood there while those bees came roaring out. The story of mine that I'd like to tell, because it was like a personal moment. My bad hearing is pretty much notorious. I mean, I have to admit when I used to travel more that I just can't hear. And I was alone in my backyard, and I was working bees back there doing whatever, and there was a sound of a drone, of a low-flying aircraft, or what was that noise? And I realized that just above the tree line of the apple trees in my yard, there was a swarm coming in, and it wasn't mine. And they pinpointed empty equipment sitting on one side of my bee yard. And they directed out of all of those, that olfactory confusion, that swarm directed itself and its followers into that empty equipment. And all I did was just stand there and watch these bees move in. Now, that's not a lost swarm. That's a gained swarm. And I just love that because I'm getting somebody else's bees. Somebody else screwed up and their bees swarmed and they came to my equipment. And that moment, when those bees came in, I'm just a biological observer. I mean, the bees are, I am nothing to them. They are on their way. This is all instinctual. This is natural behavior. And it was a biological wonderment moment for me to stand there when these things happened.
Yeah.
When those bees come out, they're fluffy and soft. They're not aggressive. They're anxious to be gone. It's a really nice moment. That must be, Kim, what makes the moment when you lose a swarm oppositely bitter.
Well, it could be. I got two stories here. I was at a friend's house a number of years ago, and we were sitting out in his backyard. He's not a beekeeper. And we're sitting out in his backyard having a beer late afternoon. You know, not 5 o'clock, but not 1 o'clock, somewhere in there, between there. And that same sound came in. And it came in, and it came in over the roof of his house. We're sitting on one side, came in over the roof of his house, found that hole in his siding, and boom, disappeared into the side of his house. And his it took him a day to pick his jaw up off the ground.
Yeah, it's really... It's surprising how good they are.
Yeah.
They can really direct traffic and handle large overflow populations in a hurry. And Ken, I've talked about it. You've talked about it. For those who don't know, when that swarm is happening, when it's moving, when you're out there working flowers or, you know, it's fairly quiet, there is an audible sound, a racket, a noise, a drone, not like the bees, but a drone like the sound. That they make. You can hear it. You can hear enough to stand around and say, what is that noise? You can't see them. They're 22 to 25 feet in the air, but you can certainly hear 35, 40,000 bees flying in mass at one time.
It's a semi-sweet sound because you know what it is, and you're glad that they're healthy enough to swarm, but wave goodbye. I got one more story to tell you about a swarm. I was with, you remember Richard Taylor, who used to write for Bee Culture magazine?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And a published author, too.
I was with Richard one time, and we were checking some of his yards, and he had a yard in the middle of the woods someplace. He had a clearing, and you had to get there it was just a tire rut trail. It wasn't a road by any stretch. And we were pulling into the clearing, and just as he pulled in and stepped on the brake, out comes the swarm from the colony in front of us, probably 30 yards in front of us, and the sun was on it, so the sun was shining off of all of the wings that were flying off there, and it was just kind of this explosion of wings, and he gets out, and he says, well, look, there's a swarm, and he jumped out of the truck, and he walked over there, and he's watching it, and he reaches up, and he goes, look, I got the queen, and he had her. He caught her in midair.
Oh, Kim, nobody's trying to compete with you. Nobody said, let's have a swarm story contest. Did he really do that?
He did. And I was new enough at this job to be totally, completely amazed.
Well, you should have been.
Yeah.
I mean, that is, I knew him. hasn't been with us now in quite a number of decades. But that's not something that happens every time. That was just him being in the right place at the right time, and that queen apparently being in the wrong place at the right time.
Yeah.
That's a good story. Good story.
We want to thank our sponsor today, Liebengood Family Apiaries, a third-generation family operation with more than 50 years' experience operating in northern Ohio. This spring, they'll have several deliveries of Georgia-certified Italian and Russian hybrid packages arriving in March, April, and May. Plus, they have five-frame deep nukes, so bring your own box, or they have one-ways available. Of course, there are lots of extra queens available that you can have marked or clipped. To find out more, or better yet, to order today, go to www.ohio-bees.com. Better hurry, they go really fast.
Have you ever, you know, you catch a swarm, sometimes you catch a swarm, like the one off my fender or the one off the top of that 80-foot ladder that you got last time, and you've got it in a box, and yep, the queen's in there, I saw her, she's in there, and so you got them in the box, you take them home, and you open up the colony, and you put them in the colony, and you close the front door to give them a little time to get adjusted, and you come out there that night, and you open it up so that they can get out and fly, and they're waiting for you. And boom, out of that, I'm not home. I don't want to be here. Leave me alone. I'm gone. You ever have one of those?
You really went straight for the painful part of this discussion. I have had that. And that is, if you got to lose a swarm, that is the most painful way to do it. Can I tell you a story? I waited for 2 weeks for this roofing crew to come out and give me an estimate on roofing my house. And I got the word that they would be out in just an hour or so to climb around and give me my price for that new roof. And at that moment, Kim, no exaggeration, a swarm issued from my colony, and I hived it. I got it. And I'm working fast because I know these guys are coming. So I got everything in. Bees are still flying all around. Bees are buzzing. Then the roofing crew showed up, and I was distracted. Now, I don't live in a mansion, but this is a lot of money for a roof, and I should have had my mind on how much I'm agreeing to spend on this roof, but I kept checking that colony, and Kim, they were leaving, and I wanted to tell the roofing guys that I'd waited for a week or two, can you guys come back later? I've got a swarm that I just hived, and they're not staying in my box. They're leaving again, and I stood it as long as I could. And I finally called the guys over and said, if you've got just a minute, this might be interesting for you to watch. I've got to go back and see if I can keep these bees in this box. Can you give me 10 minutes? And they agreed to it. And I went roaring back there, and they were already upset. The box was already empty. You know what it looks like. You know, they're not clustered nicely inside the box. They're already thinned out. There's too many bees in the air. They're on the grass. And in front of those three guys watching, that swarm left again after I had it in the box. Tell me, what do you say when that happened, Kim? What's some appropriate bee words that you can say when they decide, nope, I'm not staying in this box? Having a swarm leave that was briefly in my equipment is probably the most painful lost swarm. I had it.
It's frustrating.
And it got away.
Yep. You know, though, I gotta admit, I go back to watching a swarm go. I'm watching them go because I don't have the energy to chase them. I'm not brave enough to climb trees to catch them. But there's a bigger, better side to letting a swarm go, and that swarm's going to establish a colony someplace. And next spring, it's going to swarm, and those bees are going to go out, and we're going to start a population of local bees that are adapted to my part of Ohio and not to California or Georgia or Texas. And, you know, next year they'll swarm, and maybe they'll swarm and find one of my empty boxes. I'll get them back.
Maybe. I don't disagree with you, but I got to tell you, that's a consolation prize, Kim. It'd be better if they'd just stayed in my box, but since I'm going to lose them, it's not like garbage. It's not like I threw something out the car window. This is going to be beneficial insects. And they're so fast, Kim. You know, you're talking about coming out of the colony and buzzing and flying kittens and all that kind of thing. Well, once they get formed up and get into that cluster and you're kind of watching them go, it just seems like inside of 10 seconds, poof, they're gone. And it's mysteriously quiet. And out of all those thousands and thousands of bees, there may be one or two here and there, but they are fast. This is really a biological wonderment. And while you're talking about them going and, you know, recolonizing the neighborhood, yes, yes, they do that. Swarming is really an interesting process to live through. You can take it as a sign that you're a bad beekeeper. You can take it as a sign that you're a good beekeeper. Or you can take it as a sign that the bees are just being bees. But it's a biological wonderment to be in the middle of for that short time.
I think it's just another way to prove that what's good for the beekeeper usually isn't good for the bees, and what's good for the bees usually isn't good for the beekeeper. And when bees swarm and they get away, yep, it's good for the bees.
When I reflect back on what we've just said, we didn't really give any advice, did we, other than the fact that swarms get away and you just have to live with it. But that is... that's a fact.
Yeah, I got no advice on how to catch a swarm 80 feet off the ground or even in the grass.
Well, somebody will call us and tell us how to do it with bows and arrows and shotguns and fishing lines and whatever.
Yep.
But those people are not my age, Kim. We'll talk again sometime something about how it used to be. I always enjoy talking to you.
Take it easy, guy.
All right, same to you. Bye-bye.